Just open it up and start reaching somewhere. Like that, right?
Yeah.
We just had that. We just had a prayer. Thank you, brother. teach us about gambling.
Gambling.
Oops. 5 minutes.
All right. Salvation. Okay. So I thought about this this whole week. I'm like, what is he going to pick? What is he going to pick? So I have all these topics in my head. Gambling was not in there. Okay. Let's go to first. Man, I have a lot of this. I've been studying on other topics, not this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22. We'll start up here. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And so there's things that saved individuals should stay away from. Abstain means stay away. Gambling is what is it? It's your I'll try to explain it. I'm trying to think too. Go to Matthew. I gambled after the robes of Christ.
Church Christ.
Thank you. Just want a friend.
Yeah.
All right. Jump over to Matthew 27. And it's dealing with the whole crucifixion of Christ. Verse 33, when they're gone unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments and cast lots, that I might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them. Upon my vesture did they cast lots. And they are sitting down, they watched him there. And so, again, they gambled after the robes of Christ. They cast their lots. They mocked him. They made fun of him. That is something, we should not do. It saved individuals. Jump over to Psalm 22. What do you want to say it is? Again, taken from the Old Testament. I think of the verse. I think it's verse 18. They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Again, see the Old and New Testament talking about the same account. The prophecy and Psalms saying what they would do to Christ. They're going to cast lots and gamble. And so again, the soldiers here, they're making fun of Christ. They're ridiculing him. They're saying, "Hail, King of the Jews! If you be Christ, come down. If you say you're a king, we're gonna mock you as one. We're gonna put the crown of thrones. We're gonna put this garment on, and then we're gonna rip it off, and then we're gonna cast lots to see who gets it." And so there's a lot of things that saved individuals or we shouldn't get caught up in as members of the Lord's New Testament Church. Jump over to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Again, this could fall under, if it's the right verse. But fornicators and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it be once named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, nor which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And so again, I would say casting lots like that, gambling would fall under, you have uncleanness, you have covetousness, you have idolatry. The Bible also says the root of money, or what does it say? The love of the money is the root of all evil. When people are gambling, you're going after that lust. James talks about that lust. James, 5th chapter. I know I'm running out of time. James, again, gambling, there's a lust. There's a drawing. When you get like a little bit of adrenaline, people, I know that's, I've heard people gamble and they like it. They get a little adrenaline going, and they have lust. James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. I want verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brothers. When you're gambling, what are you doing? You're enticed. You're enticed by money. You're enticed by wanting. You're coveting after that. You're giving it over to idolatry. Again, those things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And so when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So yes, gambling would fall under sin, would fall under lust, would fall under idolatry, would fall under covetousness.
All right. Thank you. Why is that thing tilted down?
Because we were watching it earlier.
Yeah, this room. Sorry, it's a thing. It's out of place. It's not square. Measurements are off. Boy, you guys are getting better if the collective working. You're the only one so far that got the peanut gallery helping you out with the verses. I think you were kind of hitting on where we should go with it there towards the end. But I'm going to do a couple things here first, and then we'll get into gambling. Jeremiah chapter 1. You have to pardon me. I got different glasses on tonight, and they're kind of making me a little ill. I know my prescription isn't right on it or something. Let's just go, Sister Kayla. We'll just start in the back there. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, please.
Let to be to the worthy, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy, to throw down, to build and to win.
All right. Thank you very much. Doesn't sound like a very pleasant thing to do. Sounds like a very courageous thing to do. Jeremiah was told by God, you're going to use my words to do these things. And it's not sugarcoating. It's not being friends. It's not trying to have a social following. You're doing God's work. And God's work is to tear down and root out and destroy sin. And that's confrontational and it's hard. And so you have to be hard in doing that. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. Sister Angie, would you like to read verses 8 and 9, please? Do you need my glasses? Maybe Brother Doug can hold the Bible for you.
Face strong against their faces, and my forehead strong against their foreheads, as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be you smooth made, and their foot, though they hold a rebellious house.
Well, all right. Thank you very much. What would that might be called? You got to be a little hard-headed, don't you? You got to be a little hard-headed. Brother Sean, 2 Timothy 2:15. Hard-headed in what?
God.
In the Word of God. You know, you got to be hard-headed.
So you show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word.
All right. So there's a whole bunch in there, and we know it's a landmark verse. It's a pillar, if you will. It's a cornerstone. We quote that to people all the time, but think about, you know, as this is a school of the Bible, seminary school, you got preachers here that churches have licensed and informed everybody that they're going to be out here, preparing themselves to be pastors. You're working for the Lord, for God's people. The object is that this church may be married to Jesus Christ forever. So you got to study to show thyself approved of God, not of other people, of God. So we had a little debate tonight. It's been a debate going on for a long time. I think it's a foolish debate. I think these are elementary things. And we need to do our studies based on being approved of God and not having a bent, not having a thing, and being willing to let go of what you think and feel and just take what the Word says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. As a pastor, it's a work. And you can't be ashamed in that work. It's not about knowing everything. It's about knowing how to handle it according to the Scripture. God is a spirit. He wants things done spiritually. In order to be spiritually minded, we have to be led and guided and directed by the Word of God. And that takes a rightly dividing so that we can go do the work and not be ashamed. Because God puts a pastor in the position of a church to guide that church to be married to Jesus throughout all of eternity, which is without spot and blemish, according to the Word. So we can't play games with the Word. We can't put a chip on our shoulder and say, well, I know something you don't. No, I don't care. I don't care what people know or what they think. I care about, do men trust God and want to be approved of Him in the leadership and guidance of His espoused bride with the Word of God? Brother Kyle, you got a Bible back there? 2 Timothy 4:2.
Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reproved, all long suffering and doctrine.
All right, thank you very much. And very self-explanatory, not a whole lot of commentary on that. Stick with the word. It's long suffering, suffer long. You know, there's a lot of patience that's involved with preaching the word to people. We're going to read a passage over in Titus that some people take it upon themselves to change another man's heart. You cannot. You're a human being. You have no power over another human being's soul. You got to let God do it. You got to do it with doctrine. You have to be patient with that doctrine, but you have to root out. It's a reproving and a rebuking. It's also an exhorting. You have to encourage too, but according to the word. Acts chapter 6, Brother Scott, Acts chapter 6, verse number 3.
Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and with them whom we have may appoint over this business.
All right. So, what is wisdom? No, it's the Word of God. We are Baptists, folks. We are Baptists. When you are asked a question, give a Bible answer. Shouldn't we do that? What does the Bible say wisdom is? The Word.
It's good wisdom, your question.
Okay, it's the Word. Titus 1. Why do I get a little frustrated? Because we got this idea that we choose a man, put a title on him, and then train him to do the job. That's not what the Bible reveals to us, does it? These men were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. What? What's wisdom? They knew the Word of God. And it was pretty evident when you got Stephen out there giving them the what for, preached a pretty good message. And then you got Philip out there. He did a pretty good what for. Yes, I know Philip is an evangelist because the Bible says so. But these men, they knew the Word of God and they were applying the Word of God in their life. And then God chose them to do the work. That's how it goes. That's the order. We do things a little backwards. And we shouldn't do that anymore. So you, Brother Josh, I'm so sorry. When I moved back to Oregon at 34, 35 years old, I was called a young preacher. And it ground on it a little bit. I was grinding on that. So you young men, God's not looking for you to prepare yourself for the ministry. He's looking for you to live that life now. Now, live it. Today, it's your life, right? So Titus chapter 1, you got to know the Word of God. Do you have to know everything? No. Are you able to search the Scriptures and find the answers to all questions that pertain unto life and godliness? Yes. Correct? And you should be concentrating on that. And if you're going to tell somebody, I don't know, I'll get you the answer. Go home and study that Bible out, and you bring them the Bible, the Scripture. And yes, Brother Josh, we love you. And Brother Dan said it. I tell you what, I'm getting frustrated with, well, this is how I see it. This is how I see it.
It's fun to say.
What is it? Just what does it say? And maybe it says something and you're like, I'm kind of struggling with this. Second Peter chapter 3, this talks about people that wrestle over the hard letters of Paul. It kind of says they're unstable. Now, there's a point in which God will allow us to know his mind as we prepare our heart to know it. And maybe we got a little something in our heart that God doesn't want us to know yet. Maybe there's a little something in our heart that's rebellious or contentious, so God's not going to reveal the answer to us yet. Okay? If we are wrestling with Scripture after 30, 40 years of studying, there's a problem. There's a problem. Titus chapter 1. See Brother Travis, 3 through 5. Or 5 through 11. I'm sorry. I don't know where 3 through 5 came from.
5 through 11?
Yeah, 5 through 11.
For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, to subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, or filthy lucre saints.
All right. Thank you very much. So, again, Jude 3, what's the one thing in Jude 3 that we like to hang on to? Contend for the faith. All right. And that's what this is talking about, contending for the faith. You're going to have to stand up and present the doctrines. Now then, let's be real. You standing and contending, having a hard head, adamant, studied, be approved of God, rightly dividing the scripture and preaching the word in season and out of season, exhorting, reproving, rebuking. You're patient with all that doctrine. Are you going to change these gainsayers and convince them? The Bible says convince the gainsayers.
Sound doctrine.
The word's doing that. Yeah. They are willing to receive it.
Yes.
Brother Nathan.
And, you know, when somebody asks me, like, I get quite a few employees and they ask me a question about what's the difference of this church, you know, and am I able to go down and tell them some of the doctrines and why all these other churches are false, you know, because when I don't have scriptures to back that up or I start fumbling, A, it ruins my witness, and B, it leaves me ashamed because I'm not, the Bible says be ready with an answer. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready with an answer. Every idle word is going to come into judgment.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, Brother Nathan actually brings up a very, very common scenario that we need to be really careful about how to handle that. You're limited with your time on this earth. It's a question that maybe you don't get involved with. Number one, do they even know Jesus Christ as their Savior? So what does it care what other churches teach? You know, we got to be wise on how do we spin this around to get that back to, well, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? And then maybe talk about that. You know, he's one Lord, one Savior, one name, one salvation. He gave us one faith. He gave us one house. He gave us one foundation. It's always one. How do we know that? We have the one scripture, the one Bible. We use King James. And listen, that has an effect on my soul because when I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, it broke me and I cried out to him and he saved my soul. And he gave me an understanding and he gave me a spirit to realize there's one way to serve him. And he drew me to a church that teaches just out of that Bible. I don't know about all these other places out here, but I know this house over here, it gives me scripture over scripture over scripture. And that turns that spirit on that God gave me inside. I don't know. How long did that take? A minute. Be ready to give an answer, but understand where you're at. You're talking to a New Testament church member and they're challenging you. Get a little deeper in the doctrines, you know, get a little deeper in them. So, you know, how do we, and, you know, to kind of appreciate Brother Daniel. Yeah, we are attacking you. It is an attack because we're humans. You don't like the way I think and teach and feel and hear the scripture, and you tell me it's different. It's an attack. So get over it. We get a little bit too snowflakey with that stuff. People are going to get offended in the house, out of the house, all over the place. People are just going to get offended. So God just says, preach the word. Don't worry about the offense. All right. So I, what? Oh, we got, oh, there you go, brother.
It's just dying over there. Here, sorry.
It's the glass of, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got your hand up, brother Bo.
David.
So, you know,
so when we're talking to people, though, what's going to change their minds?
Mm-hmm.
It says, the word of God is quick and powerful.
Yeah.
So, I think you were just like ad-libbing there and giving
mm-hmm. That.
Yeah, but throw some scripture in there.
Amen.
Because so what if I say, I know in my heart that God did this, and I felt this, and yep. I know this to be true. So what?
Ephesians 1:13, Romans 8.
But we actually need to
Amen.
Use the Bible.
Amen.
And if we don't know the Bible, we need to spend some time reading the Bible and studying the Bible and yep. hiding it in our heart. Because if I give people my feelings, the Holy Spirit's going to sit there on the bench.
Yeah.
If I quote the Bible or can refer to the Bible or use what the Bible says, mm-hmm. Those are the Holy Spirit's words.
Amen.
Those are God's Amen. Words. They're not my words.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit can use His words
yes.
and change their hearts.
Yes.
So it's like we really need to use the Bible.
Amen. Amen. And with that, I'm going to offend Brother Roger, and I think maybe even Brother Sean, because I think Brother Sean said this once. I understand the context and why it was used, but I don't practice the term canned answer. Because if it is a Bible verse, then it is God's mind and it's God's word I'm going to use. And we say, well, that's a canned answer. Whatever. What does that mean, canned answer? It's God's word. All right. So how do you know everybody gets saved? John 3:16. That's a canned answer. You got to go deeper. Why should I go deeper? That's the truth, isn't it? For God so loved the whole world. The whole world, everybody. Okay, so I stay away from the canned answers. I don't like using those. I don't like using those terms. So that being said, we should be conditioned to give a Bible verse to anything we're confronted with, even if it's a canned answer, such as, why do we not gamble? Well, we go to Matthew 27, verse 35 and 36. Okay, well, let's go to Acts chapter 1 then. Why don't we use this as a canned answer? All right, Sister Roxanne. It's very pleasant to have you with us this evening. I wasn't sure. Did you bring cookies? That's unfortunate. That's very unfortunate. Anyways, verse 26.
They gave forth their lots on the guards and remembered.
All right, what's the problem there? What's the problem with that?
Gambling at the church.
Gambling at the church. And by the way, this is not at all. We've gotten past that in this society and in our churches. No, we have not. Because I've recently had to deal with this several times about the simplicity of going down to 7-Eleven and pulling a scratch at what's wrong with that. You know, because we can't always go down the deep, dark, evil path of casinos, you know, and behind the closed doors and pizza joint goes on back there. Nuts, you go get a Coke and a scratch it. What's the big deal? I'm dropping a couple of bucks. Why is that wrong? You know, we got to be able to teach, and we'll get there maybe.
Also, I have a lot of friends and coworkers who do sports gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on your phone.
Oh, sports gambling.
Betting on sports games.
Oh, that
is huge.
Oh, my goodness.
Young man.
Yeah. And you talk about, but I'm totally chasing a rabbit now. Wasn't there a point in our society in America where these were frowned upon? No dry towns, no drinking, no gambling, no harlots, none of that. that's all legal. And we call them vices, right? And there was this attitude in society that that's what destroys families and people. And as the family goes, so does the nation. So we're protecting of the nation by keeping the families away from these vices. And I'm sure promoted and talked about by the Baptist churches as a rah-rah good thing. But boy, today I forgot even about that one, because I watch football, and you can't get through a football game without 20 DraftKings. Is that the one, DraftKings? Man, and they're giving you like your first free whatevers and all this stuff, and it's fun, and you get calling the guys, and I think Herbert's going to go 25 of 32 with four touchdowns, one pick, and going to get sacked 17 times, and you know, because he gets sacked like every other play. And it's fun. What's wrong with that? I'm not destroying my life. I'm not. And guess what? It's like I have this other argument about drinking. I don't get drunk. The other argument is alcohol destroys people's lives. Oh, they're always drunk and they ruin everything. No, I drive down middle of town and I see half of Prineville there at Wild Ride Brew. It's Wild Ride Brew. It is brew. The town's doing great. We're making money. People are going to work. They're being productive. There's no DWIs every day. Nobody's getting run over. There's not a huge divorce rate. Kids aren't left on the front porch. So we can't always make things so dramatic. Gambling is more than just a couple of soldiers at the feet of Jesus. We got to look at the big picture here. And you were getting down that road with the First Thessalonians. And it's the first verse that it pops in everybody's head. That's the reason why we don't get, correct? Why don't we gamble? Because the centurion soldiers gambled for the clothes of Jesus. Why don't we dance? Because Herodias' daughter. Okay, we got these one scenarios why we don't do these things.
I didn't miss.
Matthew 16, 19. How about we just hit this? And that's enough. What do you need? Brother Roger, you need to explain to people that don't get it, because they're going to ask you, well, what are those lots and acts?
You're just accompanying the scripture, Holy Spirit.
No, I'm not.
You're accompanying the scripture. You know, 99 scripture.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do.
I'm not too far.
Because you're going to go... Because they're going to go to Acts chapter 1, and they're going to ask you, what are those lots then? There's gambling in the church. You got to explain it.
And the champions like Cain and Amford for fun.
They are, for those out in the world and not church members. Not for church.
Jack. Jack? J-A-X?
Yeah. How is that the pausing?
When I say Jax, I think J-A-C-K-S. And now my mind is blown.
The casting lots, is that they were casting the vote. Because I was doing a history lesson in the Romans, and they had like this judge or whatever, and there were the lesson, so like they would pick them. And most of the time, they would put them in jars, and then they would count the stones, and that was a type of deciding, is it yes or is it no?
Some of that. Context is always the ruler of the day, you know, and rightly dividing and understanding what those teachings are. And that's the whole point of the class, is you don't just take the one verse that uses the same words as other verses that mean different things. You still have to have the ability to know how to teach that. And me personally, I also employ etymology, because I got an individual that doesn't like a certain word that's used 115 times in the New Testament, and they just hate it. It's like...
going with the state of appearance, mm-hmm. Years ago, Brother Dixon and I went to the Blading game, and there was a guy passing out lottery tickets from the Oregon Lottery.
Oh, boy.
And he was shocked that we wouldn't take them.
Yeah.
And was like, no, I'll probably win.
Yeah. You'd be on the news. Yeah.
It's even. No. The guy looked inside, we were crazy.
All right, so there's a certain church member in Prineville that holds my feet to the fire on the number of verses, so I have specific quotas that I have to reach every time. So Matthew chapter 16 here. Let's see, Brother Trevor, verse 19, if you would.
Now, given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and once and without help.
Matthew chapter, what did I say?
19.
Six.
Come on, right.
I'm no kidding. Get a whole room. It's these glasses. They're adding things. They're adding warnings.
You see what I like? It's what's going on.
Don't go to school, don't go.
I didn't. Sorry. You were mumbling when you spoke to me.
619, maker.
It makes dollars, brother. It makes dollars.
Lay them up for yourselves, treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal.
All right. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Thank you. So gambling, what's the purpose of it? And we'll get to the entertainment part, but what's the purpose of gambling? Trying to get money. All right. Verse 2. What's that? Who loses money? You know that?
I've seen enough.
You've what? You've seen enough?
We better train. Yeah. He's telling me, don't worry.
Brother Jax is very well educated. Sister Victoria, 6 through 12. First Timothy chapter 6, 6 through 12. Sorry, I didn't know if I said it wrong. I probably did.
That's not the translation. Very working off. And having good rich, let us be therefore here, therewith content, that they have rid all of the temptation and the snare and too many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while which fall, and uncoveted after they have feared the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, believe these things and follow up the righteousness and power, and faith, love, faith, and faithfulness. Fight the good fight of faith, where from God eternal lives, wherein do thou art also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses.
All right, thank you very much. Now, you think about Matthew chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6. How does God want us to approach our physical life? Does he want us to approach it carnally or spiritually?
Spiritually.
All right, spiritually. So then, this idea, and I'm not attacking saving, you save, but is that our focus? Is that our desire? We want money. We want wealth. And then if that's what we want, what is the proper way to do it? Okay, we do it through a spiritual sense, which is God's going to take care of me. I put him first. And he's going to give me the desires of my heart. If the desires of your heart is to be wealthy, I think you're a little off skew. Not exactly following the alignment of the scripture. So I think about this 1 Chronicles 29, where he had a very rich man, if you will, involved in the Lord's work. And he was given an opportunity, 1 Chronicles 29, he was given an opportunity. And this is what he said about the opportunity. This, of course, is David. King David of Israel, the man after God's own heart. I think 2 Samuel says he was the sweet psalmist of Israel, and he confessed that God's word was in his mouth. Let's see. Brother Ryan, 10 through 14, if you would, please. No, it's Chronicles. Yeah. Colossians doesn't have a 1 or a 2. Oh, so you were doing your own thing.
Freelancing.
You were freelancing? I get it. Yes,
I was looking at how you make your money.
Oh,
not kidding, by working.
Yes.
By
the sweat of the brow?
Yeah.
Did you hear how many agreed, though?
Face.
Sweat of the brow?
And David said, healing, Gregory?
Yes.
What confused thou, Lord God of Israel, our fathers, forever and ever? Thine word is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. All that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom. O Lord, now art exalted to the head above all. All riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In all thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Verse 14.
Yep.
But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly out of this store? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee.
All right. Thank you very much. Now, you just take this circumstance where he was given the ability to prepare the materials or to bring the materials for the building of the temple. So there were possessions, and there was wealth, and there was ownership. Where did he get it from?
God.
Where did he say he got it from?
Come of thee, from God.
Things and everything came.
David said it came from God.
Yeah.
Okay. How did David get that?
God providing.
God providing. God's way. God given to him. This is, how's God going to give it to you? And that's where we get to go to Proverbs. Puts it into man's hearts. So you want to lie, cheat, and steal? By the way, the Oregon lottery is thievery. It's, they're liars and they're thieves. They're extortioners. It's not a joke. $884 million of the lottery last year went back into public services. 53% of the Oregon lottery proceeds go to the school system, which was about $560 million this year the schools received from Oregon Lottery, and schools are shutting down from lack of funding. I get mad at all the lies and the thievery and the cheating and the stealing that goes on in this world. And how dare God's people go buy a lottery ticket? We don't. What's that?
It's at $1.5 billion.
Yeah, the Powerball's $1.5 billion, and you got so many realists that say that's the last thing you want to do is win $1 billion. 95.3% of all lottery winners are in the tank right now. Ruins people's lives. Okay? Why do you want it? Well, anyways, I like the Proverbs one, Proverbs 21:17.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brother Rogers given me the don't even ask me look. I would ask my wife, but she is clearly distracted by her best friend.
Yeah.
Really? What book am I in? Yeah. Proverbs.
Do not pay.
No, you were freelancing too? Proverbs 21, sister wife, if you will, please. She's my wife and she's my sister too. Even before she got saved. No, just kidding. Oh boy.
Abraham and Sarah.
You wonder why Sarah calls me Uncle Dad. There you go. Proverbs 21, verse 17, please.
He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich.
All right, I don't play to get rich. I just play for fun. Play for fun. So who was it? I think because you were the one challenged. Addictions. The propensity for a human being to be addicted. Did you know that God wants us to be addicted to the ministry of the saints? Did you know that he created us to be habitual? And to be addicted. But to righteous things. He wants it to be our life. But you know, these vices, they call them vices because they are addicting. And how do you know if you're addicted to gambling?
It's
your life. Well, you don't know until you start. This is a reality of any addiction. You don't know that your first drink of alcohol will be the rest of your life. You don't know that. So don't do it. You don't know that first shot of heroin is going to ruin your life. You don't know that. Don't do it. You look around and say, listen, I know rocket scientists that smoke dope all day long. I'd like to see one. But that doesn't mean you're going to be a rocket scientist, so don't smoke dope. How do you know that you won't be addicted to gambling, which will absolutely crush you? And so don't do it. Yes.
Even if it's going to crush you, even if it doesn't crush you, what drives you?
Yeah.
You're driven by covetousness. I don't know.
That's, yeah.
That's what drives
me. Absolutely. Yeah.
What drives
it's the thrill. It's the addiction. It's the endorphins. It's whatever. Psalm 37 here. I don't have any time. I wanted to go over a lot of stuff yet. If brother Josh would just answer the question and got over it, just move on, answer the question. Psalm 37 here, 4-7, Sister Jackie, would you like to read that one? Psalm 37, 4-7.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
All right, so, you know, that last portion there, the world is having so much fun. You know, we got a lot of stuff. Come out from among them and be separate. We're not of the world. The world has fun. I work with people. They buy lottery tickets all the time. And I hit the lottery tickets because I think going to the, I hope maybe it'll be another lesson. You guys aren't going to the buffets at the casinos, are you? Because you're just eating food.
Wait, is there a buffet there?
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone, they're the best buffet in all of the land. What is with this kid? What's the actress? What are the outfits? What are they serving?
Nope. That's why he wants to go to Bushnell's College, because it saves him in the middle.
So the world is having fun. The world's doing all these things. God wants us to focus on him. Delight thyself, the merriment, the pleasures, the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. He will then give you the desires of your heart, and we're John 15, you'll have the full joy of Christ abiding in his love. There's no vice that will offer us any better or more or engaging joy and pleasures than God. Period. There you won't get a soulful satisfaction out of anything carnally. If you're getting approached by brethren, we've had to spend several Bible studies discussing this idea of, I'm not buying lottery tickets. I don't want $1 billion. I just have a couple of scratches. Other brethren, I'm not going to the casinos to gamble. I'm going there to eat food. I don't get where you're coming from. Brother Sean.
The whole issue goes back to right understanding what we've been given, what we are. The stewards of the Lord,
yes.
Restricted for,
yes.
Required. And stewards of what? To be faithful.
Yes.
To what?
To him, his way.
To those words. So when you think about it, we always talk about this as tithing, right? We give it 10% to the Lord, and it's his anyway. As a New Testament church member, our life is his.
Amen. Amen.
So everything out of my life is his.
Amen.
My money's his, my time is his, everything is his. So why would I then turn around and not be faithful?
Yes, yes.
Well, that's where we just have to get back to the root of the problem. You need to understand who you are.
Amen, amen. And we will do that tomorrow morning because, you know, what is the purpose of God's providence? And there's some really cool passages in there. Why does God give us what we have? What's the purpose for it? And I reject, I know in my life, in my conviction, according to the scriptures, I reject the American culture, that my life is for me to do whatever I want to, whenever I want to for me. I disregard that. That's not what God wants us to do. It absolutely is the American culture, but that's not God. I didn't even call on you, did I? Brother Bill, I'll let you have the last word.
Someone would say, please, what Cam did say that he wasted some stuff into his thing, and it goes, those words talk about gathering it away, lacking restraint, indulging in excessive things, and an immoral or debauched lifestyle.
Yeah.
It doesn't say specifically gambling, but I mean, that is. It accompanies
Amen.
Lifestyle.
Much like the doctrine of dancing, the wantonness and the chambering and the rioting, what's involved with that lifestyle? What do you have to involve yourself with? And that's what it is. So let's all stand. Brother Christian has the final.